I have some distinct memories of you doing some wild, wild stuff. Like our, because behind the scenes, everybody kicked in. So we did a myth with gun cotton for an old-timey
rocket. Oh, wow, yeah.
We had to create some very noxious, toxic gases when we were mixing the gun cotton to create the accelerant for these rockets. I heard some mythology about how that gun cotton was created.
Yeah.
You're allowed to tell the stories now. The show's off the air.
Welcome, MythFits.
Hi, Carrie. How are you doing today?
Why are you talking like Steve Burns from Blue's Clues?
Ever since we interviewed him, I want to start every episode. Hi, MythFits. MythFits, how are you guys doing?
Welcome, MythFits. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Carrie Byron. This is Troy Bellacci. We've known each other since MythBusters, so we'll probably talk about that a bunch.
Welcome back. And if you're a first-time listener, welcome. And Carrie, how are you doing today? Why are you smelling cinnamon?
This is the weirdest thing. I was shopping. I was like trying to, my daughter likes some stuff from Trader Joe's. So I stopped by after I was leaving suburbia and visiting my sister. And she's like, have you seen these whisks? I'm like, what the heck is that? It's like, it's a little tiny whisk broom that smells like cinnamon. I don't understand what you do with it. I don't get it. I don't know if this is some sort of Thanksgiving item or something, but it smells amazing. It's just, it's a cinnamon whisk. Have you seen this? What is this
for? No, but you know what? It's 'tis the season of pumpkin lattes. I mean, everything is pumpkin flavored. Have you ever had a pumpkin latte?
Well, you know what I've had is pumpkin, and it tastes nothing like all of this pumpkin spice stuff. Why don't they just make it like cinnamon season? Because pumpkin's disgusting. Like it's gooey, it's gross. It's something that I'll put on my dog's food when her stomach is sick. Like what? Why a pumpkin latte? I don't get it.
I don't either. But everyone was like, "Oh, pumpkin latte. I want to get a pumpkin latte." So I was like, you know what? Everybody's talking about it. There's got to be something to it. So I'm going to get one. It was the worst thing I've ever had. It
really?
Was like a sugar bomb. I had the worst headache for the rest of the day. I felt sick to my stomach. I was like, who came up with this god awful formula of pumpkin latte? This is the dumbest thing ever.
Guess who's never advertising on our show?
I'm not saying where I got the pumpkin latte.
Oh, that is true. That is true. I'm sure it could be anywhere that makes a sugar bomb latte. How do you take your coffee? I mean, since MythBusters, I'm like just hardcore thick black coffee. I love the cheaper the better for some reason.
Did you say thick?
Yeah, like
thick coffee?
Super strong, like black coffee, like. Like every time I make coffee, everybody's like, whoa, that is strong. Like I just remember like getting up for MythBusters. You knew you had a big, hard, long day. And it was just I just needed to kickstart. So I would make my coffee almost like with the grounds in it. Like if I was picking grounds out of my teeth, that's how strong my coffee had to be. And to this day, it's just like straight trucker coffee. Got my Rick and Morty mug here.
Nice.
I'm ready to do it.
My go-to is a flat white. Every day, it's like a shots of espresso and a little bit of warmed milk. My go to.
You're so fancy. White.
My go to is a flat white all the time. I like my fancy coffees.
You like your fancy coffee,
Carrie, our guest today. We have a very, very close friend of ours who was very close to the show. He was one of our producers. For many years, starting when we started on season 2, he came on as a producer. Are you excited to talk to him?
This is an infamous member of the MythBusters because he did all of our blueprints. Like this guy, like he is so important to the show because his comic book style, like he's a comic book artist in his real life. So getting to do all of our blueprints, he really upped our game.
Like, yeah, totally.
Oh my God.
Our drawing sucked compared to his. And so whenever you would see the episode and you'd see the hand drawing the blueprint, that was this producer.
He's the hand. Yeah, that's his appearance in our shows. He's the hand. And don't forget, stick around to the end of the episode because that's when we answer all of our fan questions so you can be a part of the show. Please post your questions, like, subscribe, follow, all that. And if you want, we might add you in the show.
Do it.
Next up, Eric Haven. Now, I spend a lot of time thinking about cybersecurity and everything that's going on online. Going online without ExpressVPN is like not closing the door when you use the bathroom. Even if you think you have nothing to hide, why give random creeps a chance to invade your privacy?
ExpressVPN reroutes 100% of your traffic through secure, encrypted servers, so your ISP can't see your browsing history.
Ooh, what's in your browsing history that you're trying to hide, Tori?
That's my little secret. If I had had this when I was traveling, this would have helped. There was a time when we were in another country, and apparently you can't get all the movies on certain streaming platforms that you can in the U.S. So when you're in those other countries, you're limited. But if you have your American location, then you can watch all the movies you want.
This is what I love about ExpressVPN. It hides your IP address, so it makes it extremely difficult for third parties to track your online activity.
And it's also very easy to use. Fire up the app and click one button to get protected. And it works on all devices, phones, laptops, tablets, and more. So you can stay private on the go.
Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/mythfits. That's expressvpn.com/mythfits to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months. Again, that's expressvpn.com/mythfits.
Now, our guest that we have on today is one of the brilliant producers from MythBusters, our good friend Eric Haven. Eric, how the heck are you?
Hello. Hi, Tori. Hi, Carrie. I'm doing well. How are you guys? You guys are doing really well.
It's so good to see you.
Yeah, we're just, you know, being parents, doing podcasts. But
yeah,
I
wow.
mean, I don't think a lot of people know, actually, our fans, they all know. This is the gentleman who does all of the blueprints after Tori and I used to do the chicken scratch of blueprints when they started getting good. It's because Eric Haven was drawing them.
Yeah, that was a fun gig doing those blueprint drawings. But you guys were so talented. I don't know why you didn't keep doing it.
I think they wanted to be able to tell what the drawing was.
I mean, they stopped kind of being planning and, you know, because at first we were just kind of working through stuff on the blueprint table. But then when they wanted it to look like really cool sort of interstitials or like the name of the actual episode, like you did such great comic book art. You've got a background in comic books, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I brought that kind of ethos to the blueprint drawings. Which you're right, before it would kind of show how the device is going to work or what you're trying to do. And I was just like, oh, it's called ice cannon, and show an ice cannon blowing up or something. Because I didn't know how anything worked. So, but I was a comic book guy, so I could draw in that way. So that's why they all ended up that way.
So Eric, you are a producer on the show. For people who don't know what a producer does, what was the day-to-day activity for you? Like, what does a producer do on MythBusters?
You source the location, you source the talent, you source the items or the stuff that you'll be building. So it's just kind of putting the show together as a puzzle piece. Like, where are you going to shoot it? Where is the best place to do this? And who are the best people to do it with? Like, what kind of experts will we need? And then how do you get the stuff that you're going to need? Like, whether it's outrageous chemicals or you know, explosive stuff. So that's what it was. It was just basically sourcing and procuring stuff.
And the occasional mixing of gun cotton.
Yeah, yeah. And along the way, you start to talk to the same people over and over again. You start to engender a relationship almost, like, where you can tell them what you need and they're not going to be thinking you're crazy or a terrorist or something. They're more going to be helpful. And so that was a lot of fun.
So you knew Tori and Grant and Adam and Jamie, you knew them all before MythBusters. Like, what was your impression of them when you first met them? Were you guys like instantly friends, or were they the weirdos that you would watch from where all of the the suits lived? Like, what was the jam? Take me back.
I don't think I knew Tori. I don't think that we had ever talked at ILM. I had talked to Grant, and I knew Adam. We had talked a few times, and I hadn't met Jamie at all. My first time meeting Jamie was at M5, and it was probably on the first day or the second day. And I had gotten some kind of weird paint or something that we needed. I don't remember what the application was, but it wasn't exactly what he wanted. And I came up to him, like, trying to explain, like, this isn't the right blue color, and it's not going to work the same way. And Jamie has really clear eyes, and he was just looking at me, and I didn't know what to do. Like, I hadn't met him before, so I wasn't sure how to deal with this individual. And I was, it just went back to it, and like, I think it will work. If you want me to get something else, I can get something else. And again, he was just looking at me.
Through you.
Through me. I was turned into, like, he was looking at my internal structures, my organs, even the atoms that make me up. Making decisions and calculations in his mind, how he should address this. I don't remember what the outcome was, but I just remember being like so unsettled by the experience of trying to, I didn't know how to interact with him. But shortly thereafter, I realized how to engage with Jamie, and, you know, you can just talk about universal joints and stuff, and he'll he's off to the races.
I have some distinct memories of you doing some wild, wild stuff. Like, because behind the scenes, everybody kicked in. So when things like, we did a myth with gun cotton for an old timey.
Oh, racket. Wow. Yeah.
And it was some, we had to create some very noxious, toxic gases when we were mixing the gun cotton to create the accelerant for these rockets. And when you were on set, I heard some mythology about how that gun cotton was created.
Yeah.
You're allowed to tell the stories now. The show's off the air. We can't get sued anymore, I think.
How many years of your life have you lost from that experience?
Oh, my God. I'm surprised you guys remember that. Like, oh, wow. That's something that I've kind of put out of my mind.
Dude, I remember because the small-scale experiment when we were doing it just in the shop, right? Grant's girlfriend was like a chemical engineer. She came in and she's like, "What are you guys doing?" Like, we were doing it in the sink in the shop, and she was just like, "You don't have any of the right equipment. Like, this is toxic." And then, like, I think they give you guys some respirators, and they're like, "Go make it on set." Wink.
No respirators. We didn't even have respirators.
What?
Like, we should have had respirators and like a hood.
Yeah, you know,
like
totally.
An exhaust hood. But nope, we were in a bathroom in a hotel outside Mojave Desert. And I'm sure people have made worse stuff in the bathtubs
outside of the Mojave Desert.
In the hotels outside Mojave Desert. But yeah, we made gun cotton in there. I remember me and Danny D, maybe John Hunt and Peter. We were in there like running the nitric acid through a bath, and the fumes it was giving off were I guess not only toxic but possibly like deadly.
Yeah. that's why you probably can't remember that. Your memory of that is foggy.
Yeah, but I remember the stuff, it worked. Like, we collected it, dried it, brought it out to location, and it was in a, my memory of it, unless I'm misremembering it, it was in a Pyrex bowl of some sort.
Yeah, that's right.
And we had it off to the side, out in the open. And as the sun started hitting it, like, it was lighting it on fire. Like, it was popping and, like, bursting into flame. And we, like, I don't think the whole thing went up, but we had to, like, move it into shade so that it wouldn't explode.
Was that for Confederate rocket? Was that the myth?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Man, that myth was dangerous.
Yeah. There's so much on that one. Yeah. Remember the test at M7?
Yeah.
Oh, when we smoked out the entire place?
Yeah.
That's when, after that episode aired, that's when the fire department or the health, like OSHA, some guy came from OSHA and like broke into our safety meeting. And they were like, where's Tori?
Yeah.
You guys.
In the middle of our safety meeting.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Hey there, I want to interrupt for just a second. We are getting into a very sensitive topic here. So I wanted to just caution you that we are going to be talking about torture, and it's very sensitive. And it was something that we filmed on the Mythbusters episode, but it is actually something we have some regrets around. So just to give you a little caution before this conversation goes any further. What, do you have any other memories of like wild stuff we put you on? Because I imagine when you came in and you're like, oh, I'm going to be a researcher and a producer, you didn't know you're going to be doing things like mixing gun cotton.
Yeah, no. One weird one was, and this was a yucky episode, but the unfortunately titled Chinese Water Torture.
Oh God, that episode was awful.
It was awful, but yeah. I don't know who, whether it was the higher ups at Beyond or someone decided that they wanted to have a torture expert on camera. And I don't know if it ever made it on camera. I didn't see the episode.
No, it didn't.
But it wanted him to talk like he was an expert. And it turned out that, like, I found a guy. Like, I didn't know. Where do I start? Amnesty? Like, but I found a guy who is willing to come on the show and talk about torture. And it's so weird because we're entertainment. We're a TV show.
Right.
And it seemed really almost disrespectful to do this. But the guy was very kind. He came on. He was very soft-spoken. It turns out that he himself was a victim of torture of some sort, and maybe that's why he was pursuing it in legal action. But the thing that was so weird was at the time that I was asked to find a torture expert, it was the same time as we had just learned about Abu Ghraib, like the pictures of people, like prisoners who are stacked like in pyramids and being humiliated by U.S. soldiers and waterboarding. It was
waterboarding.
All, like,
that was huge.
It was part of the conversation that was happening at that time politically. And here I am like, can you come on my show and talk about torture?
We're going to have a little fun with some water torture, which I don't know if anybody really thought it through. So the myth is that you're tied down and that a constant drip of water onto your head can create madness. And first of all, they wanted it to look really real. Like, this whole thing was like that episode shouldn't have happened. Though they wanted it to look really real, so we created a table that was sort of like
I built like this old, like it was a like a stretch. What is that old table where, you know, they have two, they tie your hands and your feet to the wheels and then they stretch you. So they wanted it to look like an old torture device. So that was,
and it did,
that was the basis. Yeah. And then we had straps.
We had shackles.
We were shackled to this table.
Yeah.
And it was, the table had some splinters to it because it was supposed to look raw. And I remember, like, into the experiment, I mean, this just must have been hard to watch, but like into the experiment, I started crying and I'm like, no, I'm just gonna make it through, because actually freaking that. Torture.
You
and then afterwards, yeah, I mean, Tori did a little bit better. We kept trying to up it with like a stream of water, like, but the whole thing was just like awful. And then, you know, we got so caught up in the entertainment of it and, you know, the cartoon like idea of it, because it was, you know, it was definitely something that had been used in movie tropes before that I don't think any of us really understood like what we were doing. And then when we all sat down with the torture expert and he's like, why are you guys screwing around with this, and started telling us real stories, all of our hearts just kind of sank. And we're like, yeah, this is a terrible idea. But
do you remember how it happened? Like, you brought him in. It was either me or you. I think I might've been on the table at the time, and he walked in and I just remembered you introducing your, this is our torture expert. And he looked at us and it was like a father coming in and just disappointed by his kids. And he looked at us and he was like, why are you guys doing this? Why are you doing it? Like, he literally was just so like outraged
disgusted
that we were doing this. And we all just were like, cause it's for television. Yeah. Our producer told us entertaining. Oh God. It was
he was profoundly distressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And rightfully so. Rightfully so.
And then he started telling us about like the dental torture that he went through. And then we were just like,
I'm so
sorry. We did this.
Yeah. We shouldn't be doing this. Okay. I seem to recall he was also like, he had a story about quicksand. And I was also working on the quicksand story at the same time. Like, he'd also experienced quicksand, like gotten caught in quicksand. Like, the poor guy.
You're all quick. Come with me. You're not going to be upset with this one.
I
feel like it really changed how we started to assert our opinions about when a myth was bad at the onset.
Yeah.
Like, we definitely figured out, like, okay, no, we're not going to do that. And it definitely laid some groundwork for us, because that was a one-of-a-kind, pretty awful myth.
Yeah, yeah, in the early Wild West days of the show.
Well, I remember one thing he brought to our attention. He goes, look, you guys are make-believing. Like, this is, you're playing torture. In a real torture situation, you don't know if you're going to get out alive. Like, you can never test that in this experiment. And that's why you'll never get to the bottom of it. And it was like, God, he's right. Like, we could like go through this horrible experience and it would suck. But to know that someone's going to release you when you say, I'm done, you don't have that luxury in a real torture situation.
Do you have any more fun stories?
Carrie, what goes in hard and comes out soft?
I am terrified of where this is going.
Pasta. What's wrong with you? Jeez.
Well, I know that we have an ad to read for Rougiette, so I thought we were going to be talking about penises.
No. Yes, I guess so. Let's be real. Confidence in the bedroom changes everything. When you know you can perform, that confidence carries into every part of your life.
Even making spaghetti. That's where Rougiette's Go Long comes in. This isn't just another pill. It's a confidence game changer designed to help you get harder and last longer when it counts.
Get it? Go longer. Imagine walking into any situation knowing you've got what it takes. That's the confidence Go Long delivers in bed and beyond.
I'm involved in the process. So yeah, sure. I feel like confidence is very important. And Golong combines two doctor-trusted medications in one dual-action pill that works faster and lasts up to 36 hours.
No more timing anxiety. No more second-guessing yourself.
Getting started is simple. Connect with a board-certified doctor 100% online at Rougiette.com. If prescribed, your treatment ships discreetly to your door. Just in time for date night.
Ready to level up your confidence? Connect with a provider at Rougiette.com and use promo code MythFits to get 15% off and see if a prescription is right for you.
That's Rougiette.com and use code MythFits to get 15% off today. Use the code to support the show and so Rougiette knows we sent you. What were your myths up at New Mexico Tech?
We blew up a cement truck with ampho, like a huge amount of ampho. And that was really cool because the crew vehicles, which were parked like literally a mile away, were all damaged. Like they had pieces of fragment and shrapnel, like it just tore through them. And it was hilarious because, you know, they're all rental cars from Enterprise, and we're like driving them back to turn them in. They're like, what happened? You know, they're drivable, but they're just like, they had giant tears through them. They were just shredded.
Oh my God, we did that a lot with rental cars. I know that when we were out in the desert with our rental cars and we were trying to kick up a dust storm by driving around in a circle.
I was in like, that circle. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the dust cloud was supposed to hide our heat signature. And it was from, what movie was that from?
I forget. It's a Ridley Scott movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Right. And so they were switching cars. So you didn't know where the kidnapped victim was going. And it was a heat signature from a helicopter. So we had a helicopter above. We were creating this big dust cloud and we created these ditches because the playa is really soft and one of the drivers had, I think it was Noble, had the car tire yep. hit a ditch, and we rolled the car, and then we returned it to the rental agency.
No, that one did not get returned. That went to the junkyard. I remember we were behind him. So Noble, you guys got to know who this guy is. He was one of our builders on MythBusters, but he looked like he stepped out of Mad Max. Like he looked like Mad Max. He just always in black fatigues, and he like chains. I mean, he was hilarious. So he was taking this experiment way too seriously, and was like, we learned that if you would turn the wheel and hit the gas, it would kick up a huge cloud of dust. And so he was just in it to win it. It was just like, and then he turned the wheel too hard and he hit the gas too hard, and the whole thing just flipped. And we were like, God damn, like, holy crap, they're dead.
Well, I mean, like, all those cars, the ones that we didn't flip, we definitely returned very, 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 very dirty. They were a little worse for wear. I'm sure that there was a little bit of damage done. I hope you guys got the extra insurance for that one. I mean, if you don't return a car, how do you explain that?
Yeah, we lost it.
do you remember Noble the way? So we had Noble, and then John was another producer on the show. They were both in that vehicle. Yeah. And John, I just remember the two of them, the way they reacted. Noble jumped out and like was all like, that was awesome. Everyone okay? And John came out like in shock. He was just like, what happened?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. His shoulder was pretty banged up on that one. That was terrifying, because as we were driving around in the circle, like, and the dust is being generated, you can't see how close you are to the car in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, eventually you'll see the taillights, but you can't see them until you're right on top of it. And so it was kind of scary. And everyone on the radio is going, we have to go faster. We have to go faster. So you're like trying to go faster, and you're terrified.
I can't see the car in front of me.
Yeah, right.
I was trying to remember if there was ever a time where you said no. Like, guys, that's just not going to happen. Because, I mean, no matter what it was, like, you'd be like, oh, we'd be like, hey, we need a Civil War rifle. And you're like, okay. Hey, we need a pig stomach with all of the tubes attached. Okay. We need 10 cars and this many pounds of explosives. Okay. Like, do you ever remember saying no to us? Like, that is ridiculous. We'll never get a race car and a Major League Baseball player. Like, what? Anything.
Oh, that's a good one. Doing the F1 car in a wind tunnel, upside down.
Yeah.
To show the downforce.
Yeah.
There was always an idea to try to do this in a wind tunnel. Which is conceivable, like it should work, but I couldn't make happen. The people at the wind tunnel places were all like, like, didn't matter if they were fans of the show,
right?
They're like, this cost $1 billion. You know, you're not going to put an F1 race car upside down and hope that it's going to work.
The elusive F1 upside down myth, it still haunts us to this day. Like, it's one of those that everybody, it always comes up, because it's just like, would it work? Like, all we need to do is get a self-driving F1 car and a helix ramp, you know, let's do it. You know, it's just, it's always eluded us.
Tori, yeah. We need a Kickstarter. Maybe the fans can do a Kickstarter so we can do one more episode. For $1 billion, just raise enough money so that we can get this done. I mean, Eric's already got the contacts. We got the will.
So we used to do a lot of stuff at the bomb range. In the bomb range, it was this weird soil where it was like, when it would get wet, if it had just rained, it turned into like crazy, almost like quicksand mud. Your leg would just go straight into it. But it was also just very uneven. And I remember there was this one time, and it was a dry day, so it wasn't like it was muddy. But you were walking up from the bomb range up onto the road, and you just like, you just twisted just wrong enough, and you went down on the ground. You're like, ah, oh, I just remember. And I looked down, and we were screaming. We're like, paramedic, paramedic. And he just kind of calmly walked down the road, and we're like, run. And he got to us and goes, if I run and fall, then I can't help him. And we're like, yeah, all right, good point. But then I don't know if he cut open your pant leg or just rolled it up, but your kneecap was to the side of your leg. Like it had moved over to the side, and it, I turned white. You were white. We were all just like, oh my God.
I have flashbacks of this all the time. I remember I was just wrecked for a while because it was just like a game. It was like, oh God, oh God, I can feel your pain. And I can't believe that of all the injuries on set, like you get injured. Like you're behind the scenes and you got seriously jacked up.
Yeah. And that was so dumb too. Like I've walked and jogged and run all over the bomb range before. And I'm just like you guys, very familiar with the terrain. It was just I needed to talk to JD. JD was up on the road and I was running up from that little gully area and the earth was dry and, it just kind of slipped out from under me and just, I've never had a knee injury like that. And it just slipped out. And I totally remember going, and it wasn't from pain. I don't remember feeling any pain at all. It wasn't until hours later that I felt pain. It was more looking down and being completely grossed out by what I was looking at. Like the leg was completely bent in a way that it wasn't supposed to be. So it was like a horror movie. I was suddenly looking at my leg in a horror movie.
It was the pure horror. But the paramedic, when we were out on the bomb range and that happened, the paramedic popped it back in, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He told me afterwards he wasn't supposed to do that. Like he's supposed to take me to the hospital if something like that happens. But he's done it many times before. He knew what to do. He was very calm. And when you mentioned that he walked there, like walked very slowly, that's what they're trained to do. Like just assess the situation as they're approaching. And he just popped my knee back in and it was fine. And I was on adrenaline at that point. So I like, I'm popping up and like, okay, let's get back to it. Okay.
Nope. In shock.
Next shot. And everyone's looking at me like,
you're all sweaty, white. Your face is all pale. All right, let's get to work.
Dude. Mythbuster crew was some trauma bonding. Like all of us have become such family because I don't think that, when you go through something like, I went ziplining with my friends, it brought us closer. Like the stuff we were doing was like so much adrenaline and so much work that all of us kind of stayed really, really hardcore friends after that. I know that like you've been working with like behind the scenes crew at many other jobs. Like we're all just such good friends over the year. And it's so awesome. I remember when I went on maternity leave, I missed you guys so hard because you were like, I spent more time with you guys than my family. And I had a very special spot in my heart for you, Eric, because you don't have kids. And I remember just having so much fun always kind of fucking with you because like your gross factor wasn't very high. So I would be bored at home. Not that maternity leave was bored.
Oh,
love
yeah.
my baby. Beautiful. Took pictures of her all day. But every now and then she slept a lot. So every now and then I would just send you gross pictures, but with like really mundane, sweet titles. And this was before malware and you know, a picture of a puppy might turn your computer on and take all of your information. So you saw a little JPEG that said, open here, picture of Stella's first house. Do you remember that?
I think so.
Yeah. It was just a bucket of my bloody placenta bag. And I just remember everybody was like,
geez, Carrie. That could be considered harassment now.
People sent me texts. I got a whole bunch of texts that were just like, oh, that freaked out Eric hard. I feel like we don't have an HR department back then for a reason.
Oh, yeah. Things were different back then. Yeah.
Ooh, baby.
Well, you know, we went through so much together, but we were also working on this weird show that hadn't been done before. And we're doing it for what we thought was a good cause, you know, like with entertainment and with science. So I think that it was a huge bonding experience, something that it was different than any other job. And we kind of self-selected for our crew, like the other people behind the scenes. We're all like friends of friends, and if they weren't, like, and they didn't work out, they'd kind of cycle out.
Yeah.
So we ended up having this really close-knit crew that would do anything for each other. And like it really felt that way when you're out in the middle of nowhere and you have to get shit done.
Oh, you had to be calm. You had to be hard. You had to take things not so seriously. You had to have a cool head. Yeah, and you totally. Definitely had to have a sense of humor, like a really mm-hmm. strong sense
Dude,
of humor.
Your sense of humor was my favorite because you were just always so dry and you would hammer people. I remember one time, this might have been when we were out at the playa, at Burning Man, that playa there. So I remember when we were out at the desert, one of our producers had gone up to some hot springs that were nearby and they spent the night out there underneath the stars. And who knows, they were like getting nude and doing drugs, supposedly. And so the next day we're all out on the playa and it was like midday. And this producer looks up and she's like, "Oh my God, it's a solar flare." And Eric, you just were like, "You're still high off your drugs. There's no solar flare." And then you looked up and you're like, "Oh God, look, it's a solar flare."
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah. "You're such an idiot. That's not a a solar flare."
Is it true that because you used to wear a fedora when you'd walk around with us that people thought you were Adam?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I have to say, I'm still mistaken for Adam to this day. Just literally 2 weeks ago, I was mistaken for Adam out in public. They're like, "Hey, anyone ever tell you look a lot like Adam Savage?" I'm like, yeah, I get that.
As a matter of fact,
they don't even know how close they are. Like, yeah. By the way,
one person removed.
Yeah, I worked with them. I'm a producer on the show. But, like, they have no idea.
You should just like make their day. Be like, "I am Adam Savage," and take that picture. They won't figure it out for a long time till they post it. Okay, lightning round. Favorite myth.
Gorn cannon.
Yeah.
Favorite prop.
Gorn cannon.
Yeah.
Hardest build.
Ice cannon was kind of hard.
Worst smell.
Ear candle.
Yeah, earwax. Disgusting.
That was the worst.
That was the worst.
That was the worst. But favorite Mythbuster.
You, Carrie.
That's an easy one.
I know, it was me. It was me. I know. Oh, Eric, you are one of my favorite people.
Yeah,
I miss
dude.
You so much. Thank you so much for doing our podcast.
Yeah, it's so
like,
good to see
behind
you.
Behind the scenes magic.
Yeah, so great to see you guys, talk with you guys, and you know, relive some of these memories.
Yeah, we miss you, dude. Good to see you.
Miss you guys, too.
Thank you.
Everybody stick around, because when we come back, we're going to answer a fan question.
Carrie, do you remember I showed you a picture of my little chihuahua and he had gotten a hold of a sausage and he couldn't get it down? It was like too big for his mouth.
It was so cute.
Well, that little guy will literally eat anything. But here's the thing. Just because he'll eat anything doesn't mean it's always good for him.
He's old. Does he have like teeth problems?
Does he have teeth? That's the real question. He's got like two left. That's it. Poor guy.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. So my dog currently eats Sundays for Dogs. And I switched recently because she's, you know, she's really sensitive. She's a little purebred staffy. And so she really easily gets like itchy paws and stuff. So I decided to level up. And I've seen a huge improvement. Mostly the dog loves it. It's kind of like a bowl of beef jerky is what it looks like.
Do I got to send you a picture of my dog? Because his teeth have fallen out, his tongue is constantly stuck out.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? You've got the tongue on the side dog?
That's so cute.
Oh, well, my dog is still 2 years old, so she is full of energy. Her coat's really soft. She's way less itchy since she started eating Sundays for Dogs. So I'm pretty excited. It's clean and it's made from real meat and fruits and veggies. So it's not kibble. It's like there's no weird ingredients that you can't pronounce. There's like no fillers. Compared to kibble or other brands, Sundays invests 50 times more in its ingredients to ensure premium quality.
And the best part, you just scoop and serve. No freezer, no thawing or prep, no mess. Just nutrient-rich, clean food that fuels their happiest, healthiest days, so you get more of them share together.
Tori, I know that your dog doesn't have any teeth and you have to use the wet food, but I gotta say, I get so grossed out by having to scoop wet food. I'm so much more excited to have a dry food that's not some sort of kibble. So I'm actually really excited we get to advertise for this brand. And did you know Sunday's holiday sale is going on right now? So go to sundaysfordogs.com/MythFits and get 50% off your first order. Or you can use code MythFits50 at checkout. That's 50% off your first order at sundaysfordogs.com/MythFits.
Don't miss out on Sunday's best sale of the year at sundaysfordogs.com/MythFits or use code MythFits50 at checkout.
And we're definitely going to post pictures of our dogs. So lucky
yes,
you guys.
Yes, we are. Carrie! Oh my, that was so great to see Eric.
I love it when we talk to people who used to work on Mythbusters because it's just like a little reunion and they have memories that I just don't remember. It's so fun.
And I forgot how much I miss hanging out with them. Like, you know, the last time we saw them was at JD Nelson, the Bomb Tech's retirement party. We saw a whole bunch of people from Mythbusters and that was the first time I had seen them in years, probably like almost a decade. And I just forget how much fun he is to hang out with.
Yeah, we all, you know, we in the office of Mythbusters, we had our desks arranged in like these little islands. So it was your desk pushed up against Matt Cordova's desk and Eric Haven's desk. Like the three of you had something you guys called Man Island. And then I was over in the corner with like Linda pushed up against my desk. So we kind of had our little island over there. And I remember you guys just used to joke around all the time, whether you were tasering each other or like so putting on silly hats or something. Like you guys were just goofballs over there.
We had our little Man Island. It was a good time.
Used to do Movember. I remember you guys started growing awkward mustaches every November.
Did I?
Yes. We made, but like,
you know what? I didn't do the mustache. I did the full beard. That's
But I mean, for you though,
full beard.
I've never met anybody with a more aggressive 5 o'clock shadow than you. That, like in the beginning of the day versus the end of the day, like legitimately you had a beard by the end of the day. So Movember could have just been you cheating. Like you could have just
not shaving that day.
Yeah. Well, do you remember 2 days?
Do you remember we had a director who we were doing an interview and she's like, can we check? There's something shading his face, just like from his like nose down. And we're all looking at each other. We're like, it's my 5 o'clock shadow. Like this is, and it literally was from the morning to the afternoon. Yeah.
You're just too mannish, Tori.
Sicilian. It's the Sicilian. Yeah. In me. All right. Are we ready for our fan question?
Yeah, you guys, thank you for sending in a video. We have one that came in through the website, actually. That's where we're collecting questions now. And we've got a good one. All right, play it.
Hi, Carrie and Tori. I'm just curious how often you had people snoop around the workshop or snoop around other work locations where you might be at. I was in San Francisco once, maybe in 2010 with my brother, and we got fairly close to where we thought you might be after Googling it, but I didn't want to stop too close or stop in because I didn't want to bother you guys. Thanks for taking my question.
That's a good question. Thanks. Thanks for that question.
The shop is, you know, just like a warehouse, but it says M5 Industries out the front, but like I think after a while, I remember fans started showing up and taking selfies in front of the door, but you couldn't really, there was no doorbell to get in. It was just like Fort Knox. Really.
Yeah. Yep. Totally. I remember there was one guy that had been, this was a little weird. I don't know if you remember this because so M5 was at one location and then we were at M7, which is a completely different location, blocks away from Jamie's shop. We didn't get that many surprise guests because they would always go to M5. Obviously, the sign was out front. They knew where to go. Where ours was tucked away, we didn't get a lot of surprises. But I remember one time there was this guy who had been messaging me weird stuff. I think this was during the MySpace days. Remember MySpace? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I get a call and you know he was just saying weird stuff. And I was like, keep an eye out for this person, whatever. All of a sudden I get a call from M5 and they're like, Tori, no need to worry, but there's a guy here with his parents. We called the police. They're explaining what the situation is. Apparently this guy had told his parents, they were from Spain. They were taking him to see his friend in San Francisco. He might have not been all there mentally. And so the police showed up and they explained it to the parents and the parents felt terrible. But this poor guy, he like came all the way to San Francisco to see his friend, me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was kind of weird.
I mean, I know there was, because we had some very distinct locations and we always named them in the show, there was a while where I believe the fan club was doing kind of a little tour of places that we would do
myths. Oh, that's cool. So,
like, yeah, like you could roll around and see like, oh, here's the Alameda runway. Oh, here's where they did this. Here's where they did that. So it was kind of like a fun little Bay Area tour because we are so Bay Area. So like, there was definite locations that we used over and over and over. But I can't imagine that you'd be like, oh my God, I want to go to San Francisco. Let's go see the bomb range in Dublin, the Alameda runway.
Right?
Let's go over to Jamie's shop. He's definitely not answering the door. Oh, that was that would have been, yeah. We've definitely had some stragglers coming in. Every now and then, though, we would be out front and I took some pictures with people. Didn't you?
Yeah. Everybody was always so nice. Like they would just show up and be like, hey, I found you guys. I just wanted to say hi. And we would take photos and they were yeah, super, super friendly.
Yeah. We've had a lot of visitors come through the show. Like somebody would know somebody or a friend of a friend or a Make-A-Wish Foundation would come through or a couple class trips. I always, you know, when my daughter was little, like I was like, they're preschoolers. Do you just want to come see the shop? The preschoolers don't want to come see the shop.
Right. They're not watching the show.
I'm like, buddy, you could just come on. Come on in. We had some fun people, like famous comedians and just like people who like wanted to come get little tours. And it was always kind of fun showing our shop around because it was not an open set. It wasn't like, I don't know, it wasn't a Hollywood thing to come visit. It was just a dirty shop. And the first thing everybody always said when they walked in, they're like, whoa, I thought it would be fancier.
Yeah, right. You thought it was a TV set? No.
No, it's just a workshop. And then the offices had the ceiling were those tiles that you would have in elementary school that were made of cork that you'd throw the pencils up and then they would
stick.
Which
we did. We did throw pencils up into the ceiling.
Yeah, every now
panels.
And then a pencil would just like drop from the ceiling. Yep.
That was good times. Like,
yeah, it was just like, you know, gross carpet and bad lighting and just, you know, it was an industrial office and shop. But hey, if you wanted to come by.
See, you should have just come. You and your brother should have just popped in. We would have been like, hey, what's up? We wouldn't have any problem with it.
Nah, it's too late now. But hey, you ever see Tori out at the Home Depot? Just come say hello.
Come up and say hi. Well, thank you guys again. This has been fun. Carrie, good to see you.
Keep sending those video questions.
Yeah.
Send them into the website, which is mythfitspodcast.com. Come join us. Be a MythFit. Be part of our band of MythFits.
If we pick your video, you'll be on the show. Come on.
You can be on the show. Like, subscribe, follow, and stay weird.
Stay weird, MythFits.
MythFits out.
Pioneer.